Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
It's good to see you this afternoon. Thanks for being here, and we look to God to bless his word. Now, could we turn, please, first of all, to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and we're going to read from verse 17. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 17, and it says this: "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach your gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Have not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified." Over to Philippians 2, please. Philippians and chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read from verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found as fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, we used to sing a hymn, and it simply said, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for the world of lost sinners was slain." This afternoon we have read in our verses about the cross. The cross is that which stands central to all of history. It is that which stands central to the message of the gospel we have to proclaim this afternoon. God ever had the cross in mind. God in eternity past, he looked, and we read of the Lord Jesus Christ as one who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. God in eternity to come, as if we can say that, he will look back, and he will look back to the cross. But when Paul is preaching, he thinks about the cross. Paul, at one time, he hated anything to do with the cross. He despised it. He hated the person of Christ. But there came a moment in his life when he met the Saviour for himself. And Paul rested fully and completely and depended entirely upon the work of the cross for his salvation. I want to think about the cross this afternoon. I want to think first of all about the cross, how it divides. The cross divides. We live in a world which is divided. I'm sure you would agree with that this afternoon. But even in Dunfermline, there is division. Those divided politically, those divided socially, those divided religiously. But I'm not concerned as to your religious standing, or your social standing, or your political standing, for we have read of an even greater division this afternoon. The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Let us simplify this even further this afternoon. The cross of Christ divides. Either you are lost or you are saved. You know, it was April the 10th, 1912, when the great ship Titanic set sail on its maiden voyage. As that people boarded the ship, they were split into classes. There was first class, second class, third class. It came a moment. At 11:40 p.m. on the 14th of April, that great ship, deemed unsinkable by many, hit an iceberg. And in 2.5 hours, that great ship, deemed unsinkable, lay at the bottom of the ocean. Back in Southampton, in the days that follow, many people gathered around the offices, wanting to know if their loved ones were saved. And a bellboy would enter, and he would take that person's name, and he would simply put it on either one side. There would be a cry from the audience, as there they would see where that name lay, either lost or saved. Dear friend, today, in light of the gospel, in light of eternity, in light of the fact that we must prepare to meet God, can I ask you gently this afternoon, are you lost or are you saved? Either you are lost today, still in your sins, still without God, still without Christ and without hope, or there has been a moment in life's experience where you had dealings with a man of the cross and you came in all your sin and all your needs, and you turn from your sin and trust alone in the person of Christ for your salvation. This is a division which matters in time. Either you are lost or you are saved. This is a division which will mark you for all eternity. For if you enter eternity without Christ, if you enter eternity lost, and without God and without hope, my Bible speaks and it says that the books will be open, and all those whose names were not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. Dear friend, I wonder what it is for you. Lost or saved? Jeremiah would say in Jeremiah 8 verse 20, the harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. Oh, the dreadful position to be in. Not saved. Soon the day of opportunity will draw to a close. I do not know when the last time you will hear a message of the gospel will be, says the psalmist in Psalm 89. Remember how short my time is. In Psalm 90, it is soon cut off and we flee away. He says in Psalm 102, my days are consumed like smoke. Says James, for what is your life? It is even as a vapour. It appeareth for a little time and then it vanisheth away. Dear friend, the cross of Christ, it divides. But the cross of Christ is that which diagnoses. You see, when I come to the cross of Christ, I realize before a holy God that I am a sinner. I realize that in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. I realize that I can do nothing in myself to gain favor with God. And I discover that my sins and iniquities have separated between me and God. You see, when God created this world, he could say on the sixth day of creation, having made man, it was very good. And yet man was given free will. Man was told he could eat of any tree of that garden except for one. But we discover man took of that tree and he ate. And we discover in Romans 5 and 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Not only the entrance of sin, but the extent of sin. Says the Saviour in the Psalms, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing. Says Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. We don't have to look too far to see the evidence of sin. We look at our world today, a world so broken, a world so marked by sin. And as you look within your life and I look within mine, we discover that we are sinners. The cross of Christ, it divides. The cross of Christ, it diagnoses. But the cross of Christ, it declares. You see, while we are sinners, while we can do nothing to gain favour with God, God, out of love for your soul, he sent his Son into this world. And I discover that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. I read in 1 Timothy 1:15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And as I look at the cross of Christ, we may ask a question, how can I know that God loves me? How can I know that God desires that I might be in heaven one day? We look to the cross of Christ. And there was a man unlike you and unlike me, a man who did no sin, a man who knew no sin, a man who in him is no sin, a man who ever brought pleasure and delight to the heart of God. A man who God could look down from heaven and say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am finding all my delight. Yet this was one. This was one who men would take. And they would take those lovely hands. And they would take those lovely feet. And they would nail to him there to that cross of wood. And there outside the city wall of Jerusalem, not only do we see the hatred of men towards him, we see the love of God for your soul and mine. That there at the cross of Calvary, in 3 hours of darkness, God poured upon his lovely Son the judgment for sin that you and I deserved. He cried prophetically, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? You know, I can't understand it. I can't explain it. But there in those 3 hours of darkness, I discover the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of it all. I discover it pleased the Lord to bruise him. It is the cross of Christ which divides. It is the cross of Christ which diagnoses. It is the cross of Christ which declares. But dear friend, today, it is the cross of Christ which delivers. If you are to be delivered from your sin, if you are to be taken from the danger to which you find yourself in, you must come by the way of the cross. You must acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of a saviour. You must acknowledge that there upon that cross that day was one who died for you that you might be forgiven. The cross of Christ is that which is delivers. And so Paul, as he comes to write to these this letter, he would say, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, It is the power of God. Dear friend, today you can be saved. You can know forgiveness of sin. We read in the Acts that through this man is preached unto you a forgiveness of sin. It is the cross of Christ that delivers. I wonder today, have you been delivered? You say to me, how can I be delivered? How can I be delivered from my sin and all my needs? Well, the Bible would speak about faith. Faith toward God. It would speak about repentance. Repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. You say to me, what is repentance? I think we have the answer in the book of Ezekiel. It would say, turn ye, for why will ye die? You see, if we are to get right with God, we must turn from our sin. We must acknowledge that we, in our standing before him, can do nothing to gain his favour. That we are wretched. That we are poor. That we are blind. That we are dead. And we must come. And we must acknowledge that Christ has done everything. That Christ has died. That Christ rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that he is able and willing to save, says Paul in Romans 10 and 9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Says Romans 10, 13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Again, I ask you today, are you saved? But I discovered too, the cross of Christ, it not only divides, and it not only diagnoses, and it not only declares and delivers. The cross of Christ is that which delights. There are many in this room today who can look to the cross of Christ, and to them it is of great delight. Whilst it was a scene of hatred, whilst we have read this afternoon of the death of the cross, how awful that was. There is that in the work of Christ and in the death of Christ which just delights those who have trusted in him. Paul could say in Galatians 6:14, God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. There was that which delighted the heart of Paul. But I suggest to you, the cross of Christ demands. As you sit under the sound of the message of the cross, demands are placed upon you as to what you will do with this message, whether you will accept it or whether you will reject it. Dear friend, I would suggest to you to reject it would be a most awful thing. You know, we read a phrase in scripture. We read of a man called Pharaoh, and we are told of him. He hardened his heart. We read of a Balaam, and he would say, let me die the death of a righteous. He would say, I shall see him, but not now. I read of an Agrippa, and he would say, almost. Dear friend, today, it's not enough to say almost. It's not enough, like Felix, to say some more convenient season and to put it off in the back of your mind. The cross of Christ has demands upon you as to what you will do with the person of God's Son. But I notice too, the cross of Christ, it decides. When you leave this scene of time, the cross of Christ will decide your final destination. Whether it be heaven or whether it be hell and the lake of fire, it will not be whether you have lived a good night life. It will not be your church attendance. It will not be your giving to charity, as good as these things might be. What will decide in a future day whether you enter God's presence or not is the cross of Christ. Says Paul, the preaching of a cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I wonder, dear friend, where you stand today. Lost or saved? Perishing or saved? Christ as your Saviour or still rejecting? Heaven or hell? Dear friend, I wonder what the cross of Christ means to you this afternoon. Let me read that verse one more time. For a preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Shall we just close in prayer?
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.